You nervous?
I was, yeah. I was very, it was a very engaging
that's natural
experience of the restaurant. I was it like, wasn't don't have this up.
Because there's not that much of the
there's
coffee.
Not that much of it. And it's the most expensive one.
Hey, and welcome to the Valor Coffee Podcast. Glad you're here. This week, we're sitting down with our lead roaster, Sam Smith, not the artist, the roaster, to talk about his thought process behind creating blends on our menu. And specifically, we just released Swoon, which is our spring blend. We like to take a different approach to blends. A lot of times blends get a bad rap in the coffee community for just being the kitchen sink on the coffee menu. But we like to put a lot of intentionality into everything we do, but specifically blends. I think Swoon is our most expensive coffee we have on our menu right now. And it's a blend. So it's cool to see Sam's thought process behind getting the right coffees for Swoon. If you've ever wondered, how does a coffee roaster choose between all the coffees in the world and choose the right one for what they're trying to do? This is a good episode for you to watch. If you're new here, we do this every week. We talk about business, coffee, what it's like to start a coffee company, and just the daily inner workings of what we do here at Valor. So if you're a barista, or if you want to start a coffee business one day, or just want to join along for the ride because you like us for some reason, enjoy. In case you don't know, this episode's brought to you by Clive Coffee. Clive Coffee is an online retailer of coffee supplies and coffee gear. If you use code VALOR5 at checkout, you get 5% off Eureka grinders and Luca espresso machines. We love working with Clive. It's always fast shipping, good customer service, and really good products. We've got a Eureka Olympus high-speed espresso grinder that we've been playing with back there, and it's so fast and consistent. Definitely give that a try. And without further ado, let's get on to the show.
What's up? It's Wednesday. I'm with my three best friends, Ross Gordon, Thomas Riley, Sam Dawson. How are y'all?
I'm feeling great.
I'm great, man.
I'm just wondering one thing. Do you guys think that Kirk Cousins
is already in the state of Georgia?
I already got my jersey. I already got my Kirk Cousins jersey.
Or is he still loading up the moving van with Julie? Is that his wife's name?
It's kind of believable that Kirk Cousins would load his own moving van in a way.
Yeah.
He'll save some money. I'm sure he's got a friend. Hey, that's why he got offensive linemen.
Do you want to hear... do you want to hear a funny rumor about the Kirk Cousins situation?
Yes.
That said he was going to Atlanta.
I couldn't say it fast enough. Yes.
His, like, snow shoveler for his house in Minnesota. It was his neighbor. He called in to some radio station and said, I'm Kirk's neighbor. I shovel his snow. He told me 2 weeks ago that he would not be needing my services anymore. He's an Atlanta Falcon.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Dude, that's kind of like an act of betrayal a little bit.
Well, maybe he felt betrayed.
That guy's a bad guy.
He's getting fired.
Hey, that's our bad guy now.
That's true.
He's not a bad guy. Sorry, we're on a hot mic.
Kirk's not the bad guy. The snow shoveler.
No,
the
snow
guy.
Shoveler.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's fine. He's just a businessman.
He's just misunderstood.
Yeah, we need more context.
But how does this all relate to Valor? Kirk, if you're listening, if you're out there.
No, we know Kirk is listening.
Just let us know. We want to welcome you to the state. We want to offer you some coffee.
We'll see you at Dunwoody.
And we want to, Alpharetta.
You think he's going to live in Alpharetta?
I mean, his in-laws live in Alpharetta.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's going to be practicing in Flowery Branch, so you got to kind of stay.
Did you guys watch Quarterback?
Yeah.
The Netflix? You know that scene where, I think her name's Julie, if I'm not mistaken. Rachel and I talked about this last night. But she's like, you know, sometimes I'm just in the middle of a game and I just get so stressed out, I got to put my worship music on.
I remember that.
Like,
dude,
that's the energy we need here in the Bible Belt, Georgia.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, so I want to be the first to just invite Kirk to Valor Alpharetta. Listen, if you want to sit in your car, we'll bring out your drink to you. I know that you don't want to get just swamped with all of the football fans in our space.
But wear them chains, though.
But wear them chains. Come on the podcast. We'd love to have you.
I just want to say that in honor of Kirk, I will make a seasonal beverage for the summer menu called You Like That.
Wow. Oh,
that's really nice. Promise.
That's really good. Nice.
That's a promise.
I like that.
We love you, Kirk, man. Darnell Mooney, if you're listening.
All right.
Let's move on. To have you too, man.
Can I say something about your jersey?
Yeah. Hey, there are a lot of listeners, so you might have to really use your words. Might as well be a wordsmith.
Okay.
Yeah, use your words on this
Ethan
podcast.
Is wearing a retro Falcons jersey. Black, Kyle, it's a Kyle Pitts number 8 jersey.
Can you flex?
That he's going to transform into a Kirk Cousins jersey when Kirk takes number 8.
I'm going to tape Cousins on the back.
Yeah. Do you think that if you sent it in, they would be willing to
put a new nameplate?
Put a new nameplate on it. Do you think that a company exists that at least would do a new nameplate?
Someone's out there.
I think I'm sorry, guys. This is really bad radio, but do you see like that it can be taken off?
Yeah. You could take the stitches off.
Mm.
For sure.
Put another one on.
Whoa.
Great. All right. Well, hey, speaking of Kirk Cousins and chains and
you like soda.
And you like that. Something that I like, the guy sitting next to me, Sam Smith.
Hey. Sam Smith.
Thanks, guys.
Roaster Sam Smith, not artist Sam Smith.
Yes.
Correct.
Sam, welcome to your second edition of the Valor Coffee Podcast. Well, your first edition of the Valor Coffee Podcast. You were on coffee sometimes before.
Oh, yeah, that's what he meant.
Yeah.
Wait, I've been on twice before, though.
This is hat trick.
I've been in here once as well.
What did we talk about then?
Oh, my gosh.
From barista to roaster career path.
Oh.
Yeah. I was there.
I think you may have... I got nothing. I was going to say drunk, but that would just be a bad rumor.
No, that was not.
Someone's going to clip that up.
Dude.
No, Jim.
Riley doesn't
clip that.
Drunk.
Don't clip
what
that.
What are we sipping on right now?
This is an unreleased coffee from us as of yet. It's a natural from Honduras, or it's a honey process actually from Honduras.
Thanks, Honduras.
I roasted the first production batch of it yesterday.
That's what Sam. This is. Question, does honey process mean that honey's involved in the process?
It doesn't mean that,
it sure sounds like it.
What's going on?
It is basically just like a third processing option. It's kind of like a middle ground between natural and washed. You like partially remove pieces of the fruit, but you still let it like dry in the sun. And so it kind of imparts some aspects of like those flavors that are characteristic of natural coffees, but it's a lot more tame. It's a lot more like floral, kind of citrusy, not like super sweet, juicy fruit type notes in my experience.
We haven't had that many honeys over the year. Have we had any?
Oh, yeah.
From Alma.
You sure about that?
Dude, yes. We've had
several.
Okay. All right.
You need to relax.
I'm sorry.
You're tight.
I'm nervous.
Hey. Let me say this. I'm sorry. I have the insider scoop on this coffee because I've already talked to Sam about it before today. This is going to be a pink box. How about that?
Oh.
Check that
out. Break that down for us.
It's going to be a secondary, our second pink box. We're going to have two at one time.
That's even more powerful.
Yeah.
What's all this hoopla about box colors? What's going on?
Let me tell you something, Ethan. Put on your listening ears. We have a lot of colors for our boxes. It's one thing we always wanted to do.
Define color.
So free throw is in the blue box. It's always free throw. Workers' comp is in the yellow box.
Yellow.
It's always yellow. We are having a little bit of movement with some of our box colors. I'm not going to lie. Things are about to change.
Breathe.
Miracle is always in the cream tan colored box. Decaf is going to be in the silver box.
Can we change the name of decaf to placebo?
No.
All right. This is my idea.
Then
don't take my idea.
Moving on from there.
I don't hate that idea either.
The rest of our those are our year round coffees as it stands. Oh, we have a new one coming.
Don't say it.
We won't say it.
FR?
What?
For real?
No.
Yeah,
no,
FR.
No. Yes.
Yes.
But we're definitely not going to talk about that. I'm talking about TD.
Yeah.
Oh, TD.
Yeah.
That's going to be sick.
So we got some new ones coming, and they'll be also, one of them will be in a new box color.
I had a TD cap this morning.
Then we have,
no one knows
the rest of our coffees
about.
Are not year rounds. They're all seasonal coffees. We have a rotating seasonal blend that's either orange gold,
cyan. What would you call that?
Teal. I call it teal and lavender. Then we have a green box, which are chocolatey coffees. We have a light blue box, which are like funky, freaky coffees. We have a red box, which are fruity coffees. A pink box, floral coffees. And a black box, which is premium coffees.
Yep. So for the pink box.
So for the pink box, we're going to have two floral coffees on our menu at the same time.
And you might think that that's always going to be a washed Ethiopian.
Which it has been.
And it has. It has been.
Why?
It has been.
Do you want to tell people?
Just transparently.
Yeah.
We have a barcode on the bottom of it. And it is for Whole Foods and grocery. And it always has to be an Ethiopian. But expanding that menu slot to multiple offerings instead of just one means that we don't have to source that coffee just from Ethiopia. We can source a clean, floral, tea-like coffee from anywhere in the world using any processing method, which is what we're drinking today.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
That's the plan. And I'll just, you know, podcast listeners, I'll give you the roadmap for Valor in 2024. By the end of this year, we hope to have at least 18 coffees on our menu.
How many do we historically have?
9 to 11.
Yeah. Whoa.
So
why is that? Why do we want to expand our menu?
Yeah.
We can go in a couple different directions. I would like people who are ordering coffees for their cafes to have the opportunity to have more variety from just our menu.
So not every wholesale account serving the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I really like, especially where we're going with this pink box thing, as far as having two coffees, different continent.
Yeah.
Same flavor or similar flavor profile. I love the thought of, especially a wholesale partner or one of our cafes or a home brewer, anyone getting those two coffees and being like, I like floral coffees. I'm going to get these two. One's from Honduras, one's from Ethiopia. Similar ballpark, but like, couldn't be more different as far as location. I love that thought.
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
I got a question for Sam. What do you say to the people that they're like, they're in the cafe and Ethiopia Worka Sakaro Naturals in the red box, and then it's not in the red box anymore. It's gone. And they're like, why ain't this coffee always here? This is such a good coffee. Why can't you just serve it all year? Sam.
Well,
and scene.
Camera cut to Sam now.
There's actually a few answers to that question. Main answer is like coffee has a harvest season, and then it has like even green coffee has some degree of like a shelf life. So having a single coffee from a single harvest on all year, by the last like 3 months, like months 10 to 12 or whatever that you're having it on, you're going to notice a lot of fall off in the flavor. And there's not like a lot you can really do to avoid that. It's like you can reseal your bags to keep them at like actual big sacks of coffee. You can reseal them to keep it fresher longer, but it kind of doesn't matter. The other reason is it's kind of fun. I mean, you guys can tell me if you feel differently, but having a somewhat limited supply, like a finite supply of a coffee, adds like an amount of demand or like desire to get the coffee. If it's like always around, it, I would imagine it would perform worse on average over the course of like 12 months versus like we have X amount and it's here until it's gone.
Scarcity drives demand, baby.
Yeah.
Shout out Alex Ramosi.
And also, I feel like it gets boring. I know, like, Worka Sakaro, the anaerobic is an amazing coffee. I really like it, and everyone really likes it. But if, like, if it was that coffee all year and then one other rotating red box, or, like, where we're at now, like, no other natural, like, fruity coffee on our menu ever, I feel like it would get boring.
This is silly, but, you know, Starbucks doesn't offer the PSL all year long, do they?
Whoa. That's actually true.
And there is a lot of buzz once September rolls around. I don't know when they actually release it.
Dude, the memes do start like ramping up.
It's PSL season, you know, and you would miss out on those memes if they offered it year round. Similar to tan lines for us. Maybe this is a good segue into seasonal coffees or seasonal blends for us. But tan lines is our summer seasonal blend, which last year, correct me if I'm wrong, it was a washed Kenyan coffee and an Ethiopia Worka Sakaro anaerobic natural, the one we were just talking about. 50-50 blend, an explosion of ripe acidity and possibility.
You sound like Riley.
And imagination.
Riley?
What?
And that coffee gets talked about after it's gone. It gets talked about in winter. It gets talked about
mainly by you.
That's not true, Ross. Don't
listen
to
him. He's just hating. No,
I are you saying, hey, dude, we got to have this on year round? And what do I always say? I say, no.
You always, no, shut up. Yeah, you always say what I'm saying right now, which is that it's good that we have it for part of the year. Just because there's demand doesn't mean that we should offer that year round. And I agree. Yeah. You know, Riley, I agree with you.
Finally.
It's big.
But one of the reasons you're here today, Sam, is to tell us and our listeners what your thought process is for sourcing for blends. What role do blends play on our menu, specifically with the recent release of Swoon, which is our spring blend? Yes.
Ooh. Can't confirm.
Is year two or year three of Swoon?
I think
it's year four, bro.
Are you serious?
We had Swoon.
The years go
before we were rebranded. So,
have you guys seen that Tan Lines label over there?
Dude,
stuck on the.
Oh yeah,
that's good.
That's a throwback right there.
Shout out.
It says the little tagline is "Hot liquid never tasted this summery." That was a different era for Valor. I love it though.
Hey.
So Swoon. Before we get into like what the seasonal blend spot is, what is Swoon? What are the coffees in it? Start there.
So Swoon, more like zoom out, not the coffees in it, just like as a product, is our spring blend. So March 1st to June 1st.
That's right. May 31st, but
you know what?
He's
technically right.
May 31st.
Just really quick, do you guys remember when we asked our team what we should name Swoon, and everybody sent like a ton of stuff?
Yep.
Do you guys remember any of the other names that almost made it? Because I remember one that was really good.
No.
Stroll.
Ooh.
It's kind of hard to say
Stroll.
But I just remember that being good. But we chose Swoon. Anyways, back
toddlers
to
toddlers would have a hard time with the word stroll.
Yeah.
They might think about strollers too.
I just think the confused. STR really throws them.
Yeah, no doubt. So what are the coffees in Swoon right now?
It is a washed Rwanda. Mm-hmm. It's just like a blender lot Rwanda. It's pretty good. Not pretty good. It's a very good coffee. It's clean.
What is a blender lot?
From what I understand, it is just like a mix of varietals that go into like a green coffee. They're typically from similar or the same like region.
Like from a co-op?
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just not like a lot of higher end specialty coffees are like it's like a single varietal. It's like Bourbon or whatever. This has like two or three.
So that helps it be a little bit more affordable. Mm-hmm. But so it's almost like they're making their own blend. In a sense.
Yeah. It's like a pre-roast blend type of thing. And there's a few coffees that we've had and maybe currently have that are like multiple varietals.
Yeah.
But I'm usually not paying like that usually isn't a huge determining factor to whether or not I want to purchase the coffee. It is like, what does the coffee taste like on the table?
Yeah.
So it's that is 40%. Of it, and then the other 60% is a Burundi natural that is I roasted another round of Swoon on Monday and cupped it yesterday, and it was very fruity and very nice and delicious. It's a pretty delicate coffee, the Burundi is. It's got a big like juicy fruit pop at the front, and then it's very like nice and smooth on the finish. Go ahead.
African coffees and especially Ethiopian coffees, mainly Ethiopian coffees, are not often traced back to the farm. Like, they most of the time are running through co-ops. Mm. I mean, you could say that about coffee, like, worldwide, but especially in Ethiopia. Like, we've only had, and I can say, like, a lot of roasters can say this as well, we've only had, like, a few coffees from Ethiopia that are traceable to the farm.
And just to clarify, a co-op is multiple farms teaming together, right?
Well, they sell their coffee to the co-op. And a lot of times the co-op is where the coffee is processed as well.
Okay. So they sell the cherries.
Yeah.
And then it's processed at the co-op.
Or the cherries are, whatever it is, depulped. I'm sure it varies, but yeah.
Do you think that...
Like washing stations is a lot of times what they're selling to. Like, right. Worka Sakaro washing station. Like,
gotcha.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think that multiple farms will sell the same varietal to a co-op so that it can be like a distinct varietal?
That happens a lot of times, I would say, even in Central America. Like, if we are buying, I'm trying to think of a coffee we've bought in the past from like Guatemala or something.
Think of Medina.
But I mean, there's just so much, like, if you're looking at a certain region, like, it's so likely that so much of it is Bourbon that there's a reason that variety grows there. It probably grows really well there and it's easy to produce. In Ethiopia, you're working with, you see it all the time, like, whenever varietal says, like, for an Ethiopian coffee, heirloom, it's just like, that means, like, it's just the coffees that have grown in Ethiopia for forever. Mm. And so it's a little harder to like pinpoint, like, that's, but with that being said, it's like, you don't often see Ethiopia SL28 or whatever.
Right.
So yeah.
Varietals are something that I don't know that much about that I would love to expand my knowledge on.
Yeah. It's easy. I mean, it's easy to look at varietals in the sense of like the more expensive varietals because they're like buzzwords like Geisha or Churoso or whatever. You can find the nuance of each one. I don't really know them that well myself.
I remember my first exposure to Pacamara. I think it was roasted by Stumptown, and the beans were huge.
The big ones.
Like, you know, they were probably twice the size of like a small Ethiopian bean, you know? That really opened my eyes to varieties, you know? So for Swoon, let's just reverse engineer this. You know, like, you're planning for this coffee months in advance.
Yeah.
Right. And
ideally, yes.
You're like, take us through that process from the very beginning, what that's like.
Like, very, very beginning groundwork that I don't have to do anymore is sort of flesh out, like, what do we want Swoon to taste like? Or what do we want Tan Lines to taste like? Or whatever. It's like this menu slot. It's like Tan Lines... Ideally, year after year would have a similar profile. It's like Swoon tastes like this. And it doesn't necessarily have to have the same components or whatever. So it's like deciding what that is. And it's basically, it is kind of just like a halfway point between like a pink box and a red box, almost, like, in my mind. But
so floral and fruity.
Yeah. Floral, sweet, you know, moderate to low, like, perceived acidity. Like, I don't want it to be like orange skin or like bitters or anything like that, if I can avoid it, but like sweet and then floral is the goal. And so from that point, basically I just sample a bunch of different single origin coffees. So there's like, you know, the handful of importers that we buy coffee from, I'll correspond with them. I'll explain to them like what my needs are, what the vision is for the product, and be like, do you guys have anything that you think would help? I'll look through like maybe their spot sheet, or if I'm far enough ahead, I can look at stuff that they'll be getting in, like they'll be importing before the coffee releases. And then it's like sample roast, cup the samples, think about if any of the coffees fit the concept of like what I want Swoon to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they don't, order more samples and repeat the process. And then once you find coffees that you think you like, it's like, I will take those. And sometimes it's like we've done 2 coffee blends and 3 coffee blends before. And this is that part of like sampling coffees and picking the ones to sort of build a, I think, like preliminary blend is the most time consuming part, because it's also just the part that I have underestimated almost every time we do a seasonal coffee, because finding 2 individual coffees that will go well together and like hit a vision that I have for a blend takes a lot of time, because there's just a lot of lag time between looking through coffees, ordering coffees, waiting for them to get to us, sample roasting, waiting another day, cupping, contemplating, usually having to order more samples, waiting for the shipping lag time again. So that can just like, that process can end up eating weeks up because it's just difficult to make quick progress.
Mm.
And then, so basically after I have a handful of coffees, typically I don't just have the 2 that I want or the 3 that I want immediately, but I'll have like an idea of a few coffees that I want to try. I'll sample roast the rest of the material and I'll make like different proportioned blends. So let's say I have like 5 coffees and I'm like, I want 2 of these to go together to make Swoon. I will sample roast all of them and then cup them as single origins again, usually pick the 2 that I think would go best together. And the way I kind of do that, this is kind of like shotgun. I learned this from you guys though.
Dude, don't bring us into this.
Just the whole, dude, I think you did this with Swoon this year, not to call you out, but the like, sip of this one, sip of that one, like 2 different single origins are on the cupping table. You just like mix them post in your mouth, basically. You know what I mean?
In your mouth. Now, what I do is I take another cupping bowl.
Oh, okay.
And if I want to do like 70-30, I'll take 7 scoops of one coffee and 3 scoops of the other. But that's a Scott Rayo thing.
That's a little more scientific than...
And then you put it in there and you mix it up and then you go...
And then after that, you blend the actual beans, right?
Correct.
And then
grind them. So it's like, yeah, that's kind of why I'll take a loose sip and I'll kind of just see what the flavor profiles are like and be like, okay, I like these 2 together, but I want this one to be stronger or more prominent in Swoon. And I want this one to kind of be like more of a support character, so to speak. And then, so it's like with Swoon, once I picked the 2 coffees that I'm like, I'm pretty sure I want these 2 coffees to go together, I made like a 30-70 blend, a 50-50 blend, and then a 70-30 blend like the other way. And I cup all of those next to each other, choose the blend that I like the most, and consult with other people or whatever. But that's basically how you land on it. And then I do the math to figure out how much we're going to need for 3 months, and then I order it.
So something you said in there I thought would be good for... to explain to listeners, the whole concept of sample roasting. I'm not sure we've ever talked about that on the program. You know, like we've got this Loring S15 Falcon, 15 kilo roaster.
Go Falcons.
Yeah. Thanks, Kirk. Welcome to the city. see you in Alpharetta.
Rise up.
Rise up. But we've got this big roaster, right? And you have this
huge,
massive roaster. Little sample. How big are samples typically from an importer? How many grams?
Well, they'll either send you, if it's like a really, really nice coffee, sometimes they'll send you 50 grams. Most of the time, it's like 100. Sometimes, I don't know how many grams it is, but sometimes they'll send you a 1/4 pound. I think it's like, that is 4 ounces, so that's probably...
125?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Okay, so you've got this little sample. Do you just throw it in the big roaster and...
Don't act like you don't know.
I know the answer. All right. I know about coffee, everybody.
Yeah. So we have a little roaster that sits on my desk. I can never remember if it's E or I.
E.
Ikawa is what it's called. And it is
the Ikawa.
Wow. Brought to you by Apple.
True. It is I'm pretty sure it's just like the industry standard sample roaster, and it has a 50 gram, is it called a drum even? It's not really, it's like air
chamber, maybe.
Yeah, it has like a little compartment where it heats up and roasts the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
that holds 50 grams of coffee. So it's basically like I get sent this little bag of green coffee that's like 100 grams, maybe a little more. It's like enough for two sample roasts. I'll sample roast 50 grams once. That's enough for, you know, one or two cuppings, and then make a decision, roast it again, and move from there. But that's basically, so I can roast like 50 grams at a time.
Yeah, so it roasts it a lot more evenly than a huge roaster would.
Yeah, well, yeah, so like practically 15 kilos is 30 pounds. I think the smallest batch is 10 pounds. You can maybe get away with like a little bit of a smaller batch in that roaster. But 50 grams is like 2 ounces compared to 10 pounds. It'll just never, there's no way to like actually roast that coffee on a big roaster like that.
Right.
That's a little wake up call. I remember when we went out to Charleston to meet with Balzac, the importers, and talk about roasting. You know, we were like, we have to get another roaster. Cause I mean, it's a small thing, but it's a line item for sure. Well, I mean, how much does the Yukawa go? I mean, $2,000-$3,000?
Yeah, I think it was like $3,000.
Yeah, it's like, oh, snap. Because, I mean, if you think about it, it's like, how else are you going to figure out if you're going to get good coffee?
Yeah.
It would be literally impossible for me to do what I do here.
And then I'm sure you don't want to get like, and I'm sure you might think this, but like, well, they'll send me roasted samples.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, how did they roast it? It's not your roaster.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely importers who do sample roasts really well.
Yeah.
Because there is like a, like, it's like the Q grader method of sample roasting. Like, there's like a very particular way of doing it, like roasting it light enough to still get the innate qualities of the green. But it's still risky for sure. But so many, a lot of importers have Yukawas now as well. They could probably just tell you the exact profile that they used.
Yeah, that's my experience lately. I've had importers send both before, like the same person at different points in time. Sometimes it's like, hey, here's this coffee that we had, and they're like, there's 100 grams of roasted in there. If you want some green, let me know.
Hey.
And actually, I think most of the time now, importers will sample roast like on an Yukawa, but I don't know if they used to just like batch roast something and then have like 10 pounds of roasted sample material to send out to a variety of people or whatever. But a lot of times people that I'm corresponding with will be like, if you want like me to send you the link to the roast profile for the sample roaster that we used, I can. And that's another cool thing I didn't mention about that one. I don't know if it's for all models or if it's just like the premium line Yukawa or what.
All models, dude.
You can get a little blue app and it Bluetooth connects to your phone and you can like adjust all of the like key temperature markers of like how hot does it preheat? What is the like end of roast temperature? What does it cool down to? How fast is the span? How fast is the fan spinning?
Mm.
But then you can also download a bunch of famous people's roast profiles.
Yeah, and also
like Brad Pitt.
Exactly.
Like how's he roasting for his DeLonghi?
That was so good.
Thanks, man. That's radio. So you got.
I just want to say we're giving a lot of free press to Yukawa here. Yukawa, like one of your larger sample roasters.
Yeah, that'd
be
awesome.
If you're looking to sponsor our program, let me know.
Yeah, and if you don't, we're gonna start saying some like messed up stuff
because we got a bunch of ammo.
Yeah,
we're ready.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Hey, is now a good time to ask a question?
Well, he was gonna say something.
I was gonna say one more thing about sample roasting. Is that okay?
Yeah,
this
fine.
Is your
just
program.
Go ahead.
Dude, this always
it
happens.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, so you've got the sample roast version of the coffee, and you've got the production roast version of the coffee.
Yes.
Right? What would you say are some of the main differences between those two versions of that coffee?
Wow. I'm glad I didn't ask my question yet.
Yeah.
It's a really good question.
Thanks, man. I'm sure it's different for each coffee.
Yeah. The main thing with sample roasts, and I'm still trying to figure out how much of it I can actually fix, is they just roast a bit darker.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming at all.
And I don't know exactly why. it happens. The roasts are also just like 6 or 7 minutes. They're a little shorter. It's a smaller batch. It is just kind of like a different animal, and I don't know how, like, all of the differences between batch size and like time and all of that affects the final product. But a lot of times, just sample roasts compared to production roasts, particularly with delicate coffees, it's like if I'm sample roasting a natural versus like the Burundi natural is a great example. Sample roasting it, there was some sweetness and some fruit, but it's all like pretty muted and it's not super clear. And you don't really have a lot of opportunity to like dial in a profile on the sample roaster because you have like 2 to 3
right.
sample roasts worth of material. So, and then beyond that, the sample roaster is automatic. So it's like you have a preset profile, you hit go. Basically, it's a one button machine. You load the coffee and it like does its thing until it's done. And then you like unload the coffee that's roasted. And with the Loring, it's a lot more like it is manual. You get a lot more like feedback during the roast. The roasts are a little longer. I have a lot more control of like if there was some kind of weird variance in the roast, the way like I don't roast everything the same way. I like respond to the way the roast is going mm-hmm. in order to get like the best roast that I can out of that particular attempt. And so it just allows me to have a lot more varied profile, I guess, for different coffees. It's like washed Ethiopias versus like natural coffees versus like Central American coffees. They all roast pretty differently. There's like particulars about all of them. And the Loring gives you a lot of control with how you tackle that. And so typically you on the table, it's like cleaner. The flavors are more vibrant and usually a little lighter unless it's a coffee that like I'm intending to roast a little darker.
Yeah. So whenever you cup the sample roast, you're cupping it for what it is.
Yeah.
Knowing that, okay, maybe I can fix that on the production roast.
Yeah. I call that cupping around the sample roast. It's like conceptually I understand at this point how a sample roast typically compares. There are these like, you know, overarching themes across all the coffees that I've kind of been able to identify. And so if I taste things like that, or if it's like, when I'm tasting the sample, I can say like, I think some amount of this is due to it being a sample roast. And I think it would be better. Typically, I think I'm right. I don't know. I think it's easier to remember the times when you're right. You know what I mean? Versus when you're wrong.
Or that.
Sure.
Yeah. I've definitely been wrong before.
Now, Ethan, what was your question?
I was just going to ask if you guys ever like hold the mic where it has the little holdy part. I'm kidding. That wasn't my question. I was just thinking about it. Come on. That was good. This is good radio for all the listeners. Well, you kind of just left me on this crazy cliffhanger talking about the Burundi, its fruitiness, its pop. And I'm like, back to swoon. How does the Rwanda complement the Burundi? Because let me say that. Can I say something real quick, guys? Let me just go here. I'm in a coffee shop, right? I'm working at the coffee shop. And people are like, I want to buy some coffee. And I'm like, great. Let's look at our options. And then I'll like run them through all this stuff. And the reality is that there's this narrative of like single origin is better. I think Swoon's our most expensive coffee right now.
Besides... If you know, unless we have with these new like secondary menu slot stuff, like our prices are definitely going to drive up a little bit because we can afford to go a little higher since we have 2 menu slots of a given profile. But usually the seasonal blend is one of the more expensive ones.
Yeah, because one would think, right, in traditional systems,
coffee shop lore
that the blends are like the kitchen sink. Or like the year round, like, let's just buy some cheap coffees, put them together. But au contraire, mon frere, we're putting nice coffees together. So, A, I wanted to hear about how the Rwanda complements the Burundi. And B, maybe to everybody else, how do you guys feel about trying to push against that narrative of, hey, blends are really nice and we put a lot of thought into this and it is worth $22.50, even though you could get a single origin coffee in like a similar-ish profile for $4 less.
Well, let's not embellish. It's 22.
Well, I didn't know that. I got to tell some people some other things.
Funny.
The A part of the question first, yeah?
Yeah.
So the Rwanda is a particularly delicate Rwanda, in my opinion, in the sense of it doesn't have this super bright, like, acidity component to it that is, like, sort of characteristics of Rwandas that we have had on our menu that typically end up in the light blue box. It is, you know, that is still there. It's present at the front. But it really just has this, like, kind of licorice-y sort of black tea-ness that really, I feel like it comes through in the finish, and the Burundi, the natural, really like hits you at the front of the cup.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of fruitiness and sweetness that sort of, you know, is center stage at the beginning, like when you first take a sip, and that sort of overshadows, or maybe that's not exactly the right word, but that is more present in my perception than like the acidity slash tartness of the Rwanda. Whereas like the finish on the Burundi is pretty standard. It's like good. There's like maybe a little bit of like cocoa, but the finish on the Rwanda, like the nice tea, like smooth, sort of sweet finish is great. It just gives like a sort of two sides of the experience.
Hey, follow up to question A. It was a 50-50 blend, if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
But you changed it to 60-40, and I kind of want to know what was making you make that switch. Did you want a little more pop?
Well, Ross actually mentioned it, and then, so I was...
Him?
Yeah, I know. Crazy,
you know,
right?
Coffee?
The wholesale guy.
I know coffee.
I thought he just drinks matcha.
I know what a sample roaster is. Yeah.
An Aikawa.
Could have had me fooled.
Mikawa.
What was your question? I'm sorry.
Sorry. What made you go from 50-50? It was like,
this is
happening. This is the specs to 60% Burundi, 40% Rwanda.
It was on the cupping table. I had blended sample roasts and I had made a 50-50 blend. Ross was cupping them on the table and he was like, this might be better as like a 60-40 with the natural, just having the natural come through a little more. And I think that was on like a Friday maybe. And I took the production roasts, like the pre-release production roasts, and made a 50-50 blend and a 60-40 blend and took them home with me over the weekend. Working on the weekend.
Good man.
Whoa.
That's what we like to see, baby.
I wasn't really working. I just like made coffee for me and my roommates.
You made for someone
free
else?
Coffee. Did you pay for it?
Dude.
It was work.
I'm joking.
Calvin. Did he put you up to that?
Hey, Calvin's, you,
Calvin's
like,
always asking
coffee.
Me.
Hey, Calvin,
some experimental stuff.
Can you work this weekend?
And I just tried them. I made coffee over the weekend with both and just thought about which one I liked more, which one was better. And I liked the 60-40 more.
You know,
but if I liked the 50-50 more, just so you guys, just so it's on the record, I wouldn't have changed it.
It's your call.
Yeah.
It's kind of like making an omelet, you know? When you are making an omelet, you need the egg, right? And the egg carries the rest of the flavor.
I'm locked in right now.
You know what I mean? So like in the case of Swoon, the Rwanda is the omelet. Or sorry, the Rwanda is the egg.
Yeah, Swoon is the omelet.
Swoon is the omelet. Rwanda is the egg. You need something to carry to be the canvas.
And then Burundi's like chives.
Yeah,
Burundi's
and diced
like
bell peppers.
The flavor pop,
maybe salsa and sour cream. Like but make it like Cholula. A.
But if it's
like
all
a Southwest omelet kind of situation,
here's the real question:
the sour cream and onion chips, like the bear.
Are you guys Cholula or Tabasco or like what are you?
Cholula,
use
Valentina.
Whoa.
Tabasco smoked is the best hot sauce.
No. Black Valentina, the spicy one.
All right, that is very good.
So fire. What about this whole premium blends thing?
Wait, can I say something?
Yeah. No.
We still have to answer the B-side of his question.
That's what he was just bringing up.
No.
Yes, he was. He said, no. He said premium blend.
No. I want to say something.
Oh.
I've been biting my tongue this whole time.
Say it.
Coffee professionals. Okay. In regards to your question about like blends being looked down upon. Coffee professionals, in my experience, in chatting with them, and people who get into specialty coffee, go through a spectrum of the type of coffees they like.
A journey.
Often. They are introduced to coffees, and they get really into naturally processed coffees.
Mm.
You guys seen this?
Yes.
Can you attest? It's
I've experienced it.
Lived it, yeah. Bro.
With that, the kind of the pairing with that is like, I like naturally processed coffees the most. I would never buy a blend. And I think that's because they like naturally processed coffees the most a lot of times. Or their friends tell them that blends suck and single origins are the best. Or they like see that on YouTube or read it on Reddit or something like that.
In the beginning, you're just obsessed with the fact that you can buy a coffee that doesn't taste like coffee.
It tastes like cherries or whatever. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's naturally processed coffee.
But often the progression of that is they start there. Maybe they get into some premium stuff. Maybe they buy like a washed geisha or they just buy a washed Ethiopia or something like that. They start expanding their palate. They go to a cupping at their local roaster. They taste other coffees and they're like, wait a second. Washed coffees are nuanced and can be good and can be clean and multi-dimensional. Then they start to get into wash coffees, and then the progression there is maybe they're still like really into single origins, but they have their mind open at some point to, wait, blends can be more than the sum of their parts. And if people blend coffees really, really well, then they have a place on a coffee menu. That was my experience. I've talked to a lot of other people that have had that experience. I think everyone sitting at this table has had that experience, and I think it's happening more and more. Fortunately, because when people do really intentional blends, it can create coffees that are really wild.
One of a kind.
Amazing and unique.
Unique New York.
Dude, on that also, I kind of just thought about this, but I think a lot of that probably comes from the fact that the reputation that blends had for a while, as far as like they aren't as good as single origin coffee, I think that probably was due to a large amount of blends that existed just being like, we don't know what's in it. We don't know what the proportions are. It's like every blend we've ever released on the label, it's been like this percent this coffee, this percent this coffee.
Deal
which is
it.
Like a very, I feel like that, it, they almost just need two separate categories, like a random blend of like leftover coffee versus like an intentionally blended product, like coffee product, you know what I
That's
mean?
That's going to be whenever we release test batch on our website.
Yeah.
Come on.
TB.
Well, a lot of it also comes from roasters that are roasting blends when they're blended green. So like a pre-roast blend and a post-roast blend.
Uh-oh.
A pre-roast blend would be you have green coffee. What?
Nothing, Riley's just about to torch you in a second.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here.
Go ahead, Ross.
A pre-roast blend would be you have green coffee that's blended, and it could be from various different countries, various different varietals, processing methods even.
Mm-hmm.
And then you roast it, but you roast it all the same way. Post-roast blend would be what we do, which is we try to roast each coffee at its peak flavor, what we're trying to get out of it, each in a different way, and then blend them after it's roasted.
Yeah.
So I know that pre-roast blends can be awesome though, you know, but for us, like I would want to experiment with that eventually.
There are two big arguments here that people bring up that I can see both sides of.
You're
going to
get torched right now.
No, this isn't anything about him.
Don't talk about my family or my kids.
Dude, we know your wife's a pre-roast blender.
There are two arguments here. One is if you roast coffees differently and put them together, since they're roasted differently, they're going to extract at extremely different
I'm
rates.
I'm not ready for this.
So that's the argument against post-roast blends. The argument against pre-roast blends is you're not roasting each coffee optimally to where it should be, and you're trying to find the balance of the roast that fits both coffees the most. So it's like, there's not a right answer. Like, we're not to the point yet where we can perfectly roast a specific varietal from a specific place and then another varietal from another place and then put them together and they extract exactly the same. That's just not a thing. But the fun part about coffee is that you take those coffees that are roasted differently, you put them together, and then you find the extraction that works the best for it, and it still probably tastes amazing.
It's just coffee. Like, how hard does that to be, you know? Hey, I want to say another thing, which we didn't get into it. I know it's not our biggest performer. Page Turner was really good.
It is.
It was.
And rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Dude.
We kind of popped off on it because we would use it for catering gigs, and we would be like,
it was really good.
Chocolatey Kenyan
vibes. At least we got
vibes.
To finish strong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got to go out on a good note.
And book club.
For those out there, we are retiring Paige Turner to give a break in our seasonal menu to some breathing room because we have, especially like, I think the like
the end of the year.
Hayride and then Jolly Juice are really like there and they're like stacked on top of each other.
It's crazy.
And then January rolls around and honestly, yeah, it's just like Fantastic Coffee. Just, I think people maybe are just like looking for something different. I don't know what the deal is.
So how have you seen Swoon translate into our cafes?
What?
How have you seen Swoon translate in our cafes?
How
are you brewing
you
it?
You do that. It works, I would say, to your advantage a lot. Mm. If you say something I don't understand you, I'll be like, what? And then you'll say the exact same thing again.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not that I didn't hear you.
I know.
I'm just too stupid
to
understand.
Yeah,
I do it as a bit.
I'm five.
I'm not trying to be demeaning.
How does Swoon translate?
How are you brewing it? What are guests saying? What's team saying?
What's going on? Dude, that's such a funny part. Fun and funny. Of this whole kit and caboodle is just like, how does the coffee get perceived and like served at the cafe? Because people can buy Swoon online and they can experience it for themselves. But it's that classic like barista, like you're the last step, man. Like you're the last line of defense to treasure this coffee and serve it up in an honorable way to showcase how awesome something is. So I think just the last like few months, we've really upped our intentionality, upped our focus on like by the cups and seasonal espressos. So I think a huge kickstart of that was the Kenya we had on espresso. Everybody was like, this is awesome. This is great. And it went away very fast because it was so great. And then with Swoon coming on, we have a seasonal drink made with it, which we had never done that before.
What is it?
It's called spring cleaning. So it's basically like a shaken old fashioned. So it's...
Well, we sell alcohol now?
Yeah. No.
Whoa.
Swoon, Spro. I'll get to the specs on the espresso later. Sit tight. Okay. Swoon, Spro, shaken with ice, 1/2 ounce of simple, bitters. Strain over fresh ice. Slap a dehydrated grapefruit on it. And drink it. The next step would be drink it.
I've had it,
or
it's
serve
awesome.
It. If you're serving it, you don't
drink
need
it.
To drink it.
Hey, unless you're me.
And I'm then like, you say, "Can I have a sip?"
Have a sip of that? That was really good. that looks really good.
It looks awesome too. I love how the wheel sits on top of the ice in the coupe. It's nice.
So, because it's on our currently brewing menu, as like, hey, this is going to get brewed up as a seasonal espresso if somebody wants something different, and it's on the coffee shot list and it's in the seasonal menu itself, it's like, hey, better give a rat's hat about this. Sorry
that was vulgar.
So, and we did something that we've never done before, which was awesome, which was like, how can I get from the I'm speaking as a cafe person, Sam Riley, how can I get Swoon before it's released so that it can age and I can dial it in, and then we can like start serving it
at its best.
Because we had a weird system that was like not my fault at all. I was like, we would get the coffee and be like, well, we got to serve it, you know? So getting a little ahead of that was awesome because I got to go to both cafes, dial in, and you know, we have been hating on the EK a lot around here, but it's working for this one.
EK and on the Burrs.
Hey, sorry.
I'll put words in my mouth.
Hey.
But you're doing EK Spro.
EK shots of swoon, basically zeroing it out. It's like 0.1 in Dunwoody and 0.25 in Alf. And then 20 in, no, 19.5 in, and then 60 out.
Woo, she big.
She big and she coming quick, yo. I'm talking 21, so, 22 seconds.
That's north of a 1-to-3 ratio.
That's Lungo. We're going full Lungo, my guy.
So why do you do that? Why are you pulling it so big?
My like very dumb brain is like, and we've talked about this before, and there might be science to back this up. It's like if coffee good can make bigger, you know, you can stretch it. So, and with the EK as well, I mean, we're pretty close to zeroing it out. So you don't have a ton of other options besides like up dosing a lot. Cause it's getting to 60 grams in like 20-ish seconds. Mm-hmm. But I mean, strength is there. I mean, the body sure is like a little watery, but it still holds up awesome. And the flavor clarity is great.
Have you had a swoon cap yet?
No, I will today now. Also, it just hit me while I was talking. I have interviews today and I'm wearing this jersey.
Do you have a shirt on underneath?
Well, I can't take this off. Oh, that'd be dishonoring to
right.
Kirk.
That's right.
Yeah.
All that being said, I think there's like a specific love for swoon and tan lines in the cafes. People are always hyped about it.
Yeah.
And that just helps that motor of like, let's dial in swoon today. Let's make sure it's awesome. Hey, let's do this. Mm. Hey, you should try this. And so it's just crazy how much if the team likes it, it really sells itself, which is cool.
And oftentimes the reason the team likes something is because the roastery communicates
about
the coffee.
Yeah, they've been appropriately hyped.
Yeah, all channels are.
Every time we release a new coffee, it's awesome. And it's just our job to communicate that to the team and get everyone up to speed on why the coffee is awesome.
Yep. Yeah, even a little narrative too.
Mm. Go ahead.
No.
I was just going to say I bet a lot of people listening can relate that either manage cafes or have worked in cafes where you want to have this alternate espresso menu slot or even just pour overs, have more fancy coffees that are more nuanced, maybe more expensive, but you have to dial those in and it kind of has to happen like every day. Because you treat your main espresso that way, you know, you're tasting it throughout the day, you're making sure it's dialed, but to have a single origin or in our case, a seasonal espresso, because it's not just single origin, it really is like an extra step, something you have to keep top of mind to keep it dialed so that when someone orders it, it's awesome.
I'm dialing in. I'm going deep.
It's not
going
to stay dialed by itself. It's not going to dial in itself.
Remember when we wanted to say Central American single origin, we would say Central Oregon single American.
Yeah. Like that's a Craigslist, like platonic ad.
Yeah, like it would just accidentally slip out, I swear. Like, I don't understand why. It's just like, yeah, we're getting this new Central Oregon single American that really good.
Central Oregon.
And nobody even notices that you said it.
Sam, tell me how it is. I want to talk about free throw a little bit in the realm of blends. So first of all, tell me your approach to keeping coffees stocked in free throw and just like the same blend, the same profile year round. We've been talking a lot about seasonals, but those you can, what?
Nothing.
You can do like an every, you know, it's 3 month period at a time or what have you. Free throw around all the time. Plus we are a growing roastery. And when we grow, oftentimes you see that free throw number jump up real quick.
Tick, tick, boom.
Ross knows
so
about
how
that.
Do you stock enough coffee to not run out of free throw?
Dude, great question. Well, a lot of it is just building in a weekly routine. It's like order, first of all, order coffee before you need it. So set minimums of like, once I have, basically the system I have is I am made aware by software when any coffee that we have, any green coffee, passes a weight threshold, like passes below a weight threshold that I set for the coffee. And it's like number of pounds, but for free throw, it's like 500. And that is pretty close to a week's worth of Peaberry. And so when we get to that number, or I see that we're close to that number, I will just order more. But basically for free throw, we have, it's two coffees. It is a Brazil Peaberry, and it is a currently Ethiopia Natural. And basically the whole year, it is majority. Right now, it's 75% Peaberry, 25% the natural component. For the whole year, it is pretty close to that ratio. It's pretty much always a natural coffee and this Peaberry that we've used for a while. That's pretty great. It's very cooperative with roasting. You can roast it pretty dark, and it tastes great. If you don't roast it dark, it's pretty bright. But if you roast it well, it gets like this really nice, like level, chocolatey, just
like the egg in the omelet.
Exactly. From earlier. It is the egg.
It goes full
throw.
Egg.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee that tastes so, like eggs. Bad.
Basically, the way I do that is I contract that as close to a year's worth of that coffee as I can, which I did that, you know, a few months ago. And we've grown a lot in a few months. Yeah, and so boy. I definitely need to revisit that number and like our current contract for the Peaberry, because I'm sure we're going to need more than we ordered. And then beyond that, it's like I will choose a natural that I think, I mean, there's a variety of factors, but effectively does a good job being a fruity component and like coming through the flavor profile of the coffee as like a pop or a punch of fruit or sweetness that is then like followed with chocolatey. So free throw is kind of like a 1-2 punch type of thing in my mind, where it's like sweet fruit or like strawberry or grape or whatever, and then like chocolate. And does that like pretty much answer your question? How do I make sure we have those coffees, was your original question?
Yeah, I mean, mainly my thought is just even going beyond free throw and just our general coffee menu, keeping coffees stocked when you don't have, it's hard to develop legit metrics when you're adding cafes who are different from one another.
Mm.
And one might want to serve free throw on espresso. The next one might want to serve workers' comp on espresso. And then the next one might want to put black box on single origin espresso. Crazy. And then there goes that coffee that we had thought would last for, you know, a couple while. Months.
Yeah.
And it's gone in 2 weeks. Kind of just a part of the business, but seems like a tricky thing to juggle.
How do you do it, Sam? Seriously, how do you do it?
Well, I'm not perfect. But I mean, it's just, it's a thing that I keep a close finger, like finger on the pulse of, like, I look at how much coffee we have for single, like every week I'm checking coffee inventory levels and ordering coffee if we need it. For the coffees that are year round, like workers' comp, like free throw, like miracle, I typically have contracts with importers where it's like, I have however many, like 20 or like 80 or whatever bags that we've already reserved, and they're just waiting for me to say like ship those to me. So that is literally just, it's like doing inventory where it's like, look, oh, we need this, order it, it's here. For single origin coffees, it's kind of just like a clockwork thing where when I pick a coffee for single origin, typically I just try to order as much as, like, I just order it for one time. And then when we go through that, we're out. So I try to order as much as we need for it to last 10 weeks or 14 weeks or however long. And that on crops or on the software, you can look and say like, okay, for the last coffee that was in this menu slot, how much were we roasting per week on average? How long was it on our menu slot? How much were we roasting like for the first 2 weeks that it was on our menu slot? And I kind of just get like a rough projection of how much we'll need, mm-hmm. order that much, and then let it run its course. And so basically what that does is then while that's on the menu, as that inventory gets lower and lower and like that coffee's going to run out, I am already like in the process and hopefully many steps down the process of finding the next coffee that's going to be on that menu slot.
Mm. Last question. Favorite coffee you've ever roasted and or least favorite coffee you've ever roasted? I'm actually kind of curious about that one.
Do you mean roasted in terms of like it, how like it tasted in the end or like most enjoyable to roast?
Yeah.
You roasted it and you're like, I did such a good job and this is so awesome. And like, I'm having fun.
As you look at the roaster, you're like, take me back.
Tell me. Dude, I don't know. It's hard to pick a favorite. There were a lot like, was it Gedebgo TT, that Ethiopia that was pretty lackluster for the profile at the beginning. And then it was like one of the most improved. I think I mentioned that one last time I was on here. That one's really good. The Columbia from Red Fox, the Kenya from Red Fox. I had Columbia Air or Oidor.
Yeah, Jair Oidor. That's a tough one.
It is. And then the Kenya Kimwangi. Those were both excellent coffees. Honestly, dude, the orange wash from Unblended holds
Felipe Trujillo, baby.
Holds a sweet spot in my heart. It was like the first like experimental process type of coffee, like way out there process. And it was the most expensive coffee I had ever roasted by a good amount, mm-hmm. at the point that I was roasting it. So
you nervous?
I was, yeah. It was a very engaging
That's natural.
Experience of the roaster. I was it like, wasn't natural. Don't F this up, don't F this up, don't F this up. That's like what you're thinking.
Because there's not that much of the
There's not that much of it, and it's the most expensive one.
Yeah.
So it's like, if the most, like, my mindset is like, if I'm a customer who, you know, knows a bunch or doesn't know that much about specialty coffee, and I come in and I get talked into buying like the $30 box or whatever. And then I buy it and the roast is terrible. Like it tastes awful and there's like no way to brew it well.
They're going to find
you. That's like
you.
Literally worst case scenario in my mind.
You're going to start getting hate mail.
What's hard about even like these coffees that I taste on the cupping table and I'm like, this is fire. And we're like kind of stepping out with that, with this Churoso that we're about to get in.
Yeah.
I don't think some people would like, cause you know, they buy it and maybe they want like a co-ferment or like something that's going to like be directly in their face. But I taste this coffee. I'm like, this is the best coffee I have literally ever had.
Yeah, so, but it's more nuanced and subtle. Yeah,
again, back to communicating to,
they just don't get it.
Communicating to your staff, not just selling the premium coffee just cause it's the premium coffee, but talking to your guests and being like, what do you like?
Yeah.
And getting that info before you point them towards something that they might not be into, even though it is incredible.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Where are they at on their journey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Where are you on your coffee journey? That's what we ask everyone that comes into our cafe.
How many years have you like been on a specialty coffee journey? And we're going to link you up with that.
What were you going to say, Ross?
I was going to say, because Sam is so clutch with that roast, I'm going to start calling him Kirk Cousins. That's what I was going to say.
Wow. With that, we're not going to review this coffee, but what did we think about this coffee? Hey, I'll go first. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was incredible.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go buy a pink box when it's out.
Yeah. Is there more drip over there?
There might be a little more in the...
We better go get some, boys.
What about Luke?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, if you just close your eyes and think washed Ethiopian, like, yeah, it's there.
It's pretty close.
But where's this coffee from?
Honduras.
Like, importer?
Oh, it's from Royal New York.
Royal.
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 They're coming in clutch. Royal.
Right?
What's up, Royal?
Yeah, the Burundi's from them as well.
Ooh.
And
shout out Mike.
Mike. And the Columbia that we're about to drop. is also from them.
Hey, dude, what's your shout out? Who you got to shout out before we close this thing out?
Bro, I don't know.
Come on.
Dude, what about your team? Luke, Blake,
yeah, Luke was Abby. The first person that came to mind.
Yeah, there God. It is.
Luke, you do great work, man. You're awesome. You show up every day, and you're here to get it.
Come
and
on.
You have a great attitude.
Get that bread.
And you're just a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Easy on the eyes, too.
I can agree yeah. with everything that was said. What about your dad?
Yeah, without him, you wouldn't be
First
here.
Of all, keep my dad's name out of your mouth.
I didn't say your dad's name. I said your dad.
Steve.
Dude, yeah, he's pretty legit too. Hardworking man. Forthright. Honest. Noble.
Kind.
What a forthright man. A man of integrity. Man. Mm-hmm.
Love you, Pops.
Sam, where can we find you?
You can find me here at Valor Global Headquarters, 1166.
No, don't.
Yeah, isn't our address on the yeah. freaking box?
Yeah, you have to buy a box to have the pleasure of getting our address.
Can you yeah. just Google, you look up on Google our headquarters? It would take you here, right?
Sam, I just want to say that I really admire you and your drive for excellence. And I was just thinking about how you were talking about getting all those coffees in for the blend and how some of them don't work out. And like, that's a hassle.
It's unseen work,
you know, and you're emailing with people and you're like, no, that wasn't good enough. And like, truly you, so much work goes into it before we even taste the coffees, you know? So thank you. And, there's no one I'd rather have heading that up than you. You're doing an awesome job.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Our coffee is really good. And a phrase I've been thinking about a lot is consistency is the best measure of performance.
Like Kirk Cousins.
You know, he consistently doesn't make the playoffs.
Hey.
Okay. I'm
he
just kidding.
He makes the playoffs. He doesn't win the games.
I'm just kidding.
He's 1-2.
Yeah.
Bro, he's not going to your cafe now. That's for sure.
No, but just the work you do is really consistent. And I feel like that is the most valuable thing we can offer anyone, whether that's in wholesale or in our cafes or people buying coffee for home, is just consistency, consistently awesome coffee. So thanks for your role in that.
Of course. It's a blast. I have a lot of fun.
You're leading up the group of unsung heroes over here in HQ, brother.
That's right.
That's kind of my style.
The dogs.
The dog.
Yeah, dude.
Dog pound.
You boys got to eat. Get all some right. Village Burger.
Hey.
Hey.
Let's
hey.
Get some more coffee. Love you, boys.
Clink.